How many know tonight that there are false teachers? They don't teach the truth when it comes to Christianity. They don't tell what is right and what's good. Okay? Did you know the Bible tells us over and over that we are to be very careful in this area? Because what will the truth do for you? There's a verse that kind of teaches that. What do you think the truth will do for you? What do you think? Set you free. Okay? Truth has a freeing effect to us. Okay? So never forget that. And that's what the Bible says. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? There's freedom in truth. Lies bind us. Okay? Who is the author of lies? Take a wild guess. Listen to the hints round about you. Who? All right, the devil. All right. Satan is the author of lies. Who's the author of truth? God. Right. So we have the two extreme forces, do we not? And I hesitate using the word force there, but I hope you understand what I mean. All right, we have God, we have the devil, we have truth, we have falsehood. And so there's a great battle that's taken place, and the devil wants to defeat you with lies. Now, to be an effective liar, how would you go about doing that? Dominique, how would you be an effective liar? Oh, what would your facial expression be? What would it be? What? Be serious? Alrighty.
To be a good liar, you have to almost believe your lie.
Okay. So you got to be convincing. How are you going to be convincing? Think you're right. Okay. Let me give you a thought here. Would you not have to actually mingle it with some truth? Okay. You said it too. Have to act normal. So if we're going to do that kind of thing, then we are putting some truth with it too, aren't we? Okay. So here's one of the problems we have when it comes to false teaching. All false teachers have some things that are true. My very first experience with this was many years ago. I was going to Bible college, and I had the radio on to a religious station. I guess it was religious. I don't know. And I was headed to work. And I heard this guy speaking, and I thought, wow, I liked what he was saying. And I thought, man alive, this guy has really seen some things, because it was true what he was saying. And I listened. I got to work. I was a little bit early. And so I just sat in the car for a little bit and I listened. I thought, I wonder who this guy is. And so finally, after he got done with all of it, there's a little commercial type thing that they did. And they were telling the name of the ministry and who this guy was. And immediately I recognized the name. He was a false prophet. He was not one who preached the Bible the way I understood. And I thought, wow. And that was my first really encounter with understanding how the devil works. And so it's always got a little bit of, or maybe a whole lot of truth. They might get across a few things that are not right. And so we've got to be a people who are constantly on guard. How many know who Noah was? Who was Noah? What do you know about Noah? He was what? All right, he built an ark. Okay. And what did God do with him on that ark?
He made Noah let all the clean animals on the ark, and God made the worldwide flood.
All right, there was a worldwide flood. By the way, all animals got on the ark. Two of each kind, I should say. Clean ones, hey, not very often people think about that. There were seven of the clean animals. Isn't that something? And we find that the world was basically saved. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. So there was eight people. Did I count right? And we don't have many animals, okay? Now, he didn't have Chihuahuas and German Shepherds and Rottweilers. He just had two dogs. Okay? Were they great big ones? They could have been puppies. They didn't matter, but he had those. And so there was plenty of room on this ark. It was three stories tall. And we think probably one story had food on it, and one story had the animals, and Noah and his family lived on the other story. That's kind of the conjecture. But nonetheless, we find that Noah was a tremendous man. The Bible says about Noah that he walked with God. It says he was a just man and perfect in his generations. But something happened to Noah after the flood. And the Bible says that he drank of the wine, speaking of his garden, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And so here's a great man of God we find gets drunk. Moses. Who is Moses? Excuse me? Well, he held the rod up. God did the splitting. All righty. Yeah. Okay. And he had contests with Pharaoh. And he led the people of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And there was tremendous miracles that took place in his lifetime. Think about that. So you got this man named Moses. What did Moses do that God was upset about? Do you know? You have any idea? Do you know? Mrs. Berger, do you know? It's test time. Uh-oh, look out. This lady's sharp. She's now going to tell us. Okay? What did Moses... He hit a rock? God was mad because he hit a rock? He hit it twice. Why was that so bad? You ever hit a rock? I might with a stick, but not my fist. Okay. Do you know why it was bad? Let me tell you. God told Moses to what? To the rock. Do you know? Speak to it. You know what the problem was? They needed water. Previously, God had struck a rock, or excuse me, Moses, under God's guidance, and water came out. We're not talking about a little hose water. We're talking big gusher water, because there was over 2 million people had to be drink from this. And where many believe this was at, it was probably an area the size of our properties here that water flowed into. I mean, you don't get 2 million people around a garden hose, do you, and give them all a drink. So when he smote that rock, I mean, we're talking gusher of water coming forth. Well, now we're in the same predicament again at a later time. And God tells Moses this time to speak to the rock, but Moses... He is upset. He's mad. Because the people, they've been rebellious. Instead of speaking the rock, he hits it twice. Now, there's some reasons for all of that, and I'm not going to go into it. But what I understand is, Moses, after all those years, he acted very unadvisedly. Unadvisedly. And no matter who we look at throughout the Word of God, we can find that there are things in their lives that they weren't always right. They've done some things wrong. They were deceived. They believed the wrong thing for just a little bit. And so it's very important for us to understand that the devil is seeking to deceive us, to get us off track, to get us in the wrong direction. Well, let's look in Jude chapter number... Well, there's only one chapter. But notice with me verse number 20 and 21. Because I believe in these two verses, we have something we can do to help us not to go in the wrong direction. Notice verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I'm not going to go any farther than that, but in these two verses, I believe there's four things that we can do. I think as we go to the next couple of verses, there's three more, but we're going to look at these four tonight. What can we do to keep ourselves from being deceived by the devil, by those who are going to perhaps try to teach us wrong things? Because there's going to be a lot of that in your life. You guys are going to experience this, I believe, to a greater extent than I have. We've had a barrage of false teaching in the last several years. But notice what it says, first of all. It says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. If you and I are going to keep ourselves from being deceived and believe in the lies of the devil, we need to do some building in our lives. We got to build. In 1988, we built these walls. Every foot. In fact, I'm trying to see if I can see. Once in a while, you can see where there's a nail hole. Every foot here, there's a 2x6. Along this wall and along that wall. Between this drywall right here and the outside exterior, there's what we call insulation. But there's a 2x6. 2x6 is about yay wide. It's about so wide. And it goes up to where that crease is at up there. How tall you think that is? Hmm?
Too tall.
No, tell me how many feet. Oh, no. You're good. 10 feet. All righty. That's 10 feet right there. So there's 10-foot 2x6s that stand up right there. Anybody know what it was built on? No, it wasn't built on the ground. Matter of fact, right underneath the carpet, you'll find there's a wood floor. That wood floor sets on top of cement blocks. If you go down the basement, you can see those cement blocks. How many have been down the basement? All right. What's wrong with you adults? Don't you guys ever go anywhere and explore anything? There's cement blocks down there. If you get down and you go down and you look at those cement blocks, they go down and there's a cement floor down below it. Or down on the, well, under your feet. What do you think the cement blocks sit on? Nope, they don't sit on dirt. He calls them footings. All right, he's a builder. Foundation. Okay? And all the way around the exterior of this building, there is cement. It's 2 foot wide and 1 foot deep. Inside of all that cement is half inch, what we call rebar. Maybe it's 5/8. I don't remember. And there's 3 or 4 of those that's run all the way around. And all that rebar does is hold cement together, because one of the things it's going to do is crack. Okay? And so all that sits on top of that. That sets in the ground. And it sets down below where it freezes. Because if you put it up where it freezes, what's going to happen? It's going to swell. It'll raise it up. Okay? You go over to the gymnasium and you look right there, and the slope that goes up into the door, you'll notice we had to take a saw and trim some of that out because it's raising it up, because that's on top of that ground. It swelled up. Water got under there. That's what it does. So you have to put this where it's not going to do that. We have to have a good foundation. Something's not going to move. Okay? And what's God telling us here about our lives when He's given us this little illustration? He said, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. There is something that's foundational, that's faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in or believing someone. If you have faith in me, I say something, you believe me. Tony, if I had you stand on top of that pulpit right there, and I say jump and jump in my arms, do a dive. I mean, dive off of that and I'll catch you. Would you?
No.
Why?
Because I don't trust anybody.
You don't trust me?
I don't trust anybody.
You don't trust anybody? Then you don't have any faith. You don't believe that I would catch you. I would say I feel disappointed. What if I tried to catch you? What if you thought, hey, Pastor Springer and all of, I believe he's going to try to catch me. Still, do you believe? Would you jump? Why?
You know what my dad ever
did? Oh. What if your dad got up there? And I said, Kurt, would you dive off of there, Kurt? I say, I'll catch you. No, you're not going to believe me. Faith is believing that I'm going to perform what I say. Okay? Now, if a little child that's a couple of years old, let's take one of my grandchildren, and there's a fire burning behind. And let's imagine this is a window they're coming out of. And I say, jump. What might they do? Why? Because they believe Grandpa would do everything he can to catch them. Matter of fact, they would believe that Grandpa's big enough to do that. But he's not big enough to catch Kurt. Kurt's big enough to crush me. Okay, so we understand these things. No offense, Kurt, you're just a big guy. And I wouldn't say, Kurt, jump and I'll catch you. Okay, what am I trying to establish? Building up what? Our faith. We've got to have a foundation, and that is simply we believe God. This book we call the Bible, if we don't believe it, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to be able to build ourselves up. And what I'm trying to say here is, if we're going to keep ourselves from the error that this old world has, we must be lovers of the book of the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we must be a people who are there. And he says building. That means industrious about it. It means progress. And so we read it, we learn it, we put it away, we learn some more, we build on that. It's one of the ways to keep us from error. Now, doesn't this make sense? If I know the truth, won't that help me to understand error better than anything? Hello, Earth calling Mars. Yeah. If I know what's true, that's going to help me. So one of the great purposes of church, one of the great purposes of Sunday school classes, anything that we do as far as reading the Bible, getting the Word of God into our hearts, is helping us to learn truth that we might not be fooled by that which is false. Building up ourselves. Notice secondly, what does it say here? He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now that's an interesting statement. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why do we pray? What do you reckon? Why would we pray? So we talk to God. Why do we need to talk to God? Well, that's good. But I'm already going to heaven, so I don't want to keep talking to God. I'm not trying to be nasty here. I'm just trying to pull out some things. What do you think?
Have a conversation.
Can I suggest something tonight? Because I am so needy and God provides everything. If I'm going to pray, I'm asking God to help me with the things that I need. I'm not talking about a new car. I'm not talking about stuff, though that might be included. I'm a needy individual. All of us are. But people who pray are people who recognize that need. Now, here it says praying in the Holy Ghost. What in the world does that mean? It's only used twice in the whole Bible. What's he mean? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Interesting statement. I believe it means that we're seeking God's answer, not our predetermined one. Praying in the Holy Ghost is basically, how can I explain this? Allowing God to direct us to ask for what we really need. Not what we necessarily want. In other words, we're seeking, God, I need what you want me to have. And being content with Him giving us what He wants us to have. When I started this church nearly 40 years ago, I was asking God to give us a piece of property over in North Omaha. Way up north, and a nice piece of property, had a house on it, had five bedrooms. I had four children at the time. It had this daylight basement that you could, what they mean by that, you can walk out of it. I went down there and I thought, man, this would be a perfect place. I can start the church in my home. It had a nice two-car garage, and the garage was heated. I thought, Sunday school space. And I said, Lord, there's your perfect opportunity to answer my prayers with this. And God said, no, He didn't want me there. I was so disappointed when it fell through. And God provided in a different way. And it was His way. And we just need to, we need to pray. We need to ask God to direct us. Ask God to help us to understand what is true and what is not true. We need to seek Him. Notice something else as we go a little bit farther. It says, where am I at? Who knows? Verse number 21. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's interesting. That word keep is a military term, really guard. Guard yourselves in the love of God. That's interesting. I use this once in a while. How many have ever used an umbrella? Hey? Yeah. I had, for many years, I had one of these great big golf umbrellas. And every time it rained, I'd get that out and I'd walk over to church. And I felt so good because I had this great big umbrella. I mean, it was big enough, didn't get my feet wet. Most of these little things you gals carry around. I mean, when you're 6 foot six and you got this thing up here about 8 foot, by the time the umbrella sheds down, I'm getting wet about right here. You know? And finally, the wind caught that thing and a few other things. And, well, it's gone goodbye. I got another one, but it's not near as good. And so whenever it rained, I grab that umbrella and walk over to church. Rain come down and run off the sides. An umbrella protects us from things. And so we need umbrellas of protection. We need people around us that are going to protect us. But we find also, sometimes we put an umbrella up for God. And when we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God, we can't ignore Him. We need to allow Him presence in our lives. When the sun's out, if we're going to get that vitamin D off the sun, we can't keep the umbrella up. And so you and I, we've got to keep close to Him. We've got to basically guard the activities of our mind that takes our hearts and our minds off of Him. Are there things that you can do that if you're doing, you're not going to be thinking about God? Oh, yeah. In fact, I touched on one a while ago when I was talking about music. There's some music that you might listen to. You're not going to think about God at all. It's not going to be there. And so we need to watch the kind of activities that take our minds and our hearts away from His love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And one last thing, and I'll just do it very quickly. Notice what it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. I'll not try to explain why I believe this, but I believe that's talking about looking for the return of Christ. If you and I are expecting Him and looking forward to His coming, it does something to how we live. And it also helps us as we have all of these things in place to view and understand the things that are trying to destroy us. See, much of the book of Jude is trying to teach us there are these kinds of things out there that are trying to teach you false lessons in life. But here's what you need to do. And that's what these two verses are all about. This is what we need to do. What we got to do? Building ourselves in the holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Asking God to do in our lives what He wants to do and accepting it. Staying in the love of God. Watching the activities that are going to take us away. And looking for His return. Let God have His way there. Alrighty? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight for the privilege to look into this, Your Word. Lord, we know that in our day there's some things that are trying to destroy all of us. Old or young, You're trying to deceive us. We see the devil successful in the lives of many, even those that we believe were very, very close to You, and they were. And so, Lord, we recognize that we need Your help and guidance. We pray for Your blessing as we seek to live and walk with You. Lord, I pray for any in this room, though we've not spoken of tonight, that don't know You, Savior, that You might work and deal in their hearts and their lives. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.